what's poppin'? You know it's Performance Talk, your boy Jay. I'm here with FIA girly Denny. You know she boss mode right now in the spaces, and Denny's doing all types of big shit in life, and I don't have to tell you, you could just look at her and see it. You know when you got haters, you're doing shit for real, Denny. How you doing?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be here and having conversations with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, you know, grinding, shining, trying to keep things going. Yeah. Always working on this damn car build. So, you know, car build, babies racing, F1, all that shit, you know, just keep at it. I don't sleep much at all. Most motherfuckers.
Performance talk.
I don't sleep much. Yeah. Right. I get it. Right. Performance talk. You feel me? I get up at like 3 a.m, don't go to bed sometime till like 2400 or so. So I be popping. It's just normal. It's normal for me. It's crazy. I just cannot sleep much. I just got to be doing something.
It is what it is. The brain's always moving.
There you go. It is what it is. So let's talk about some is what it is. Because you are like, you are, and not like, because when you say like, you're kind of saying maybe not close. You are what I consider an authority in the space. I'm just being dead serious. When I see you and what you've accomplished, what you've established, you are an authority in the space. Like, people look to you for information and they say that shit's valid. If FIA girly posts that shit, it's valid. Like, I'm paying attention to what she says. There are people that often say they don't watch Formula One, but they tune into Jay. But like, people don't watch Formula One, they tune into your shit. They know, hey, if you want to keep up with a certain team, you want to keep up with shit going on, Denny's gonna have it for you. So with that being said, you know your bro, I'm gonna press you a little bit. I gotta ask you, where you standing right now with, as a Mercedes fan, before we get into you being authority, let's just talk about your fan side. Yeah. Where does your fan side of FIA girly stand as a perspective on Mercedes right now after 3 seasons of what you've actually been through?
It's tough. It's so tough because I think there's two sides of it. One is, for me specifically, one is obviously I'm not one to like lose hope for some reason. And so every race weekend, I'm kind of just like, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. Okay. So the 3 years actually just kind of flew. I think obviously because I'm sitting at home and I'm watching the races, I get disappointed, but then I go on about my day. I don't have to actually go in on to the factory on the Monday and think about it and talk about it. So it's probably easier for me to rock up on the Saturday and be like, yeah, we're going to have a good qualifying, be disappointed, and then do it all over again. So there's that one side where I feel like I'm constantly just having my hopes up and being like, no, we can't give up, guys. And I think sometimes I understand and I empathize with the team because I have the same mentality they have, in the sense that, yeah, we just can't say, like, throw the towel and say, like, we're done. We actually are capable of doing this. But then there's the other side of the coin, which is Formula One is a repetitive sport. And I think I've said this, I think, a couple of times here and there, is that nothing in Formula One is new. A lot of the things that you see have happened before is just in different eras, in different times, in different, you know. And so we have seen domination before, and we have seen teams struggle before. And when Red Bull was dominating or when Mercedes were dominating, there's always this balance of there's no two teams at the top ever. I mean, obviously, there's always that second team who's able to extract some bits, and we've seen with Mercedes and Ferrari, we've seen these battles, right? So we've seen moments where there's two teams battling at the top, but we've never seen complete domination of two teams where you're interchanging championships, for example. And so that side of me and that understands that side of the sport kind of feels let down, in the sense that Mercedes won't be getting the regulations right anytime soon. And that is sad to admit. exactly. And that's the part that hurts. It's kind of like, we've seen it. In 2014, when regulations came in, Mercedes was dominating. And then you switch it up. Now someone else is dominating. Sorry, not 2014. Now someone else is dominating. And when Red Bull's dominating now, for the longest time that these engines, these regulations are there, we might have to sit in the backseat. It's unfortunate that our backseat isn't P2, because it could have been at least a Ferrari level, you know? Right. It's unfortunate that it's not at least Ferrari level. It's not at least, okay, we'll be in McLaren, we'll be in Ferrari, we're able to extract something. It's just that Red Bull is miles ahead. It's unfortunate that our sitting in the back seat is a P5 and a P7 and sometimes not even making into Q2.
Right.
But I think it's been hard accepting that they won't be getting these things right anytime soon. Maybe in 2026 when we get new regulations. But I think it's been a roller coaster of emotions of having like a good sprint race or a good race weekend or something that like raises your hopes, like, okay, finally they understand something. And then
again.
Yeah, and then the race comes and you're like, oh crap. So it's those two sides. Yeah, exactly. It's like very hopeful, oh my goodness, we can actually do this, but then at the same time we have to accept that maybe they can't. Maybe not now.
Let me ask you this, because this is where I sit. Maybe some people are a little bit conflicted when I say this, because I think people assume I'll say this for at least my side, I think people assume that when they see me already, if I'm black, I have to like Lewis Hamilton. Like, that's already a given. I've literally had somebody like say that. So, and then if you're black, then you have to follow Lewis Hamilton. So I think sometimes when I say this, people get a little conflicted, like, well, where do you stand? And I say, I know Mercedes, nothing lasts forever. No, you can't show me one time in history where a strand of dominance in athletic sports has lasted forever.
Yeah.
Everything comes, it lasts for some time, some shorter, some longer, and then it goes. And that also that's not only compartmentalized with teams, that's players as well. There's no one player that was dominant 10, 20 years ago that's still dominant now. It just doesn't exist.
True.
So for me, I often tell people that I will never be surprised when and if the day Lewis Hamilton comes where he's not performing to the Lewis Hamilton that has become the GOAT. Because it's not realistic to just think. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm not going to diminish where he is and what he's accomplished. You don't do that to Tom Brady. You don't do that to Serena Williams, Arthur Ashe, Dominique Dawes, Lisa Leslie. You don't do that to any of them. It happens, right? Mm-hmm. So I still say I'm enjoying the sport for what it offers. And that's sometimes how you got to look at it. Like, there's still competitive teams out here. There's still development out here. There's still drivers out here trying to prove themselves. There's still drivers that are going to reach the top. There are drivers that's not. There's still some reason, although I can go into some political shit that I don't agree with Formula One, which has caused a lot of people to stop watching. Yeah. I just still think that there are sport-like reasons to watch Formula One and still enjoy it. So how do you sit with that?
No, absolutely. And I think this is something that I've said in a couple of races. For example, Japan. I tweeted out saying, depending on where you're sitting, this race is actually entertaining, because there were so many battles outside of watching Lewis Hamilton be in the position that he was in, right? China, for example, there was a lot of the Ferraris, the McLaren, the Fernando Alonso's, you know? And so there is a lot that is evolving in the sport. So who would have thought Aston Martin would have made such a big jump? Who would have thought Aston Martin would have signed Fernando Alonso, right? So he's almost 40, 50 something. He's the oldest in the grid. And at some point, who would have imagined that he would be fighting in P3, right? And so now Carlos Sainz is leaving Ferrari. Who would have thought, okay, Lewis Hamilton aside, that he's going to Ferrari, but who would have said that in a few years Carlos Sainz will be leaving Ferrari? And now he's having to have this, what the media says is proving that he's worthy of a seat, right? And so excluding certain things that obviously you'd never want to see as a fan is your driver lose and your driver struggling. There is things in the sport that I still enjoy. I still watch the strategy, for example, is one thing that I really appreciate. I study strategies. I look at the strategies. I'm so happy to see strategy battles, because on paper, who's doing all of that is people back in the factory, and they just relate to the drivers. And you see that unfold in real time, right? And so for me, it's still enjoyable when I'm looking at, oh my goodness, okay, so Lando is in P7 right now, but his battle is with someone in P4. How does that happen? It's strategy, and it's on paper. Like, on track, it's one thing, but on paper is something else, because this person still has to pit. And the pit window is 20 seconds, and now those 20 seconds add up to, you know, your lap time, and now you're in P20, whatever, whatnot. And so that's, I stand right where you are. I think there's still things in the sport that you can still enjoy. And I think there's amazing things in the sport still happening. Obviously, there's caveats to it. There's things that we don't agree with and that we can all say that we're against completely. But it's not to say that the sport is not, it's not as enjoyable just because you, every time you kind of want to see different people win, it's not as enjoyable because when you talk about a sport being entertaining, you're kind of thinking about looking at who's at the front and you're kind of looking to see, okay, who's that, who's going to defeat the champion, who's going to take that P1 from Max. So your average fan understandably is going to be looking for that because your average fan is not looking at different strategies, probably doesn't understand what a strategy on paper kind of means, you know, and your average fan is not looking for the battle of P5 P6, such like some nerds like me and you would probably enjoy. So I understand when people say that it is getting a bit boring just because of that dominance, but it's sports, it's life, and it is what it is.
Facts.
You know?
Facts. So let me ask you this then. Let's go back to Mercedes.
Yeah.
Now Toto, it's been 3 seasons. Toto has been at the helm of a very aggressively sinking ship. Yeah. Since 2022, honestly. Okay, Lewis hasn't seen a win since then. They haven't had a winning car since then. And it just seems that there are so many things there. And I had already said before, in Mercedes' defense, because I think people over-exaggerated the possibilities of this happening. There are several reasons why it happened.
Yeah.
But I often say that if an ant trips, nobody will ever fucking know. True. But Mercedes is a giant. So when a giant falls, stumbles, absolutely, even, you're, absolutely, that shit's going to resonate. It's going to vibrate so loud.
You will, but hear yet, it.
The actions are the same, but it's just that this entity right here is so much more looked at. It's so much more polarizing. Mm-hmm. But even with that being the case, how long do you think it is if Mercedes keeps going on this path and Toto was at the helm of this path? Do you see a reality where Toto is not at the helm of the Mercedes ship if this is where Mercedes is going to consistently go?
I don't.
Oof.
Yeah. Right. I don't just because I think that's, and this is the thing about Formula One. Formula One is a repetitive sport, and Formula One is a very, I want to say, family sport in a sense. Mm. The same people that you watched growing up are still here. The same people that you got to know the sport through are still here, right? And obviously, drivers leave and retire and all of that. But internally, it's very hard for you to see. This is why you see engineers leaving after 10 years, 20 years, 15 years in a team. Because these people build something in the team and they end up staying for as long. Because it's kind of like a family sport, I want to say. And so I understand the leadership of Toto Wolff not being the best. I understand there hasn't been titles for three consecutive years. Lewis Hamilton's last win was Jeddah 2021, which is insane.
That's crazy.
But we're talking about 3 years of no wins in comparison to 8 world championships. Mm. You know, we're comparing these 3 years to 8 years of success. Right, of 8 years of complete dominance where they did get it right. And so I think the urge of getting someone out is you're not seeing immediate results, is you're not seeing them do what you want them to do, right? But then I think at the same time, a lot goes behind being a team principal and making these people do the job that they have to do. I wouldn't be able to be a team principal even if they put me in that position, you know? And so I think we also need to look at not just the fact that it's a hard job and the fact that they've only been loosely, but only have been like missing out on wins for 3 years versus the 8 years of success they've had recently. But then you also look at things like how many years was it since Christian Horner had a championship? Did he get sacked? He didn't. Right? So unless Mercedes feels like they need actual change, say it's 2026, new regulations have come in, 2027, they feel like there's a problem going on in there, then I think conversations about Toto Wolff can start be happening. And that's what happened with Mattia Binotto, for example. Ferrari had the car, they had the drivers, everything was going smoothly, but then at the head, it just wasn't working. He wasn't able to communicate. He wasn't able to find a structure. He wasn't able to find something that worked. And so right now, I think the only thing that Toto Wolff can do is direct his team into where do we find, how do we find performance? How do we find the right car? How do we do this? How do we do that? The hows is what he needs to do at the moment. And the only time I think conversation will be had, well, can, I can't say can, because people can have conversations whenever they want, but I think the only time conversations will be had about Toto Wolff and his leadership will be when Mercedes is actually on par with winning and having a good car and a good lineup, for example, and now they're not delivering. Now you can question leadership saying, what's going on? Where are we missing? Why is there no win yet? Why is there no pole yet? Where is that disconnect between you being a leader and your team actually thriving? As it stands, I think there's little things that you can pinpoint and say, well, Toto, there's certain things that he's saying now and he's crumbling and, you know, you've seen it in the media that
scorned, like a scorned
exactly
lover.
Exactly, maybe he shouldn't be saying certain things and maybe his head should be elsewhere, blah blah blah, blah. And like, obviously people will criticize these little things, but questioning leadership and like, is Toto Wolff going to be, is his head going to be now on the stick? I don't think so. I think there's a lot, I think success still weighs a lot in comparison to these years that they're behind. And as you said, obviously when a giant trips, stumbles, you will hear it, and so people are going to be on his neck saying, we need to be at the front, it's been 3 years, and then also recency bias, right? You're losing now. No one's going to remember the 8 championships that you had. The way people are treating Mercedes right now, you think they just joined the sport, right? Which is understandable, because that's what it is in every sport. Once you're only as good as your last race. And as far as Mercedes is concerned, they're a P9 and a P6.
Yeah, it ain't looking good. It's not looking good. And then three, I think it doesn't make it any more palatable when you have the information coming out on how maybe Lewis was treated and or talked to, or maybe the lack of consideration for his input and being somebody who's been part of a team and part of bringing you these 8 championships and my 7th. I didn't get my 8th and you got your 8th. And now I still want to be with this team. I still want to be here and win. And I'm telling you that what you're designing is not what I'm accustomed to seeing as a driver when you bring me something that's a winning product. And I think for him to bring that to the team, if that's how it went, and for them to pretty much say, I'm just going to put it bluntly, we've heard it in basketball, shut up and dribble, is kind of like it came off with Lewis, like, shut up and drive. Like, this is what we do, and this is what you do. I don't think you need to tell us what to do. But, you know, Lewis said, my team doesn't make mistakes. And I'm not sure that he feels the same way anymore. Because this has been a fucking big ass mistake. And so now, with that being said, Lewis sits in a situation where I think he's also being unfairly criticized or weighed, and it's gonna happen to the haters. Haters have been waiting for Lewis to be in a situation where they could talk shit about him and feel legitimate about it. But it's not legitimate to me, because when I hear Lewis Hamilton is washed, when I hear he can't drive anymore, when I hear these things, I just wonder, like, how do you go from seeing somebody in a competitive car to seeing a team develop a car that doesn't work and then trying to criticize his driver about what his actual ability and talents are? So when you see these things, how do you come across? And I'm pretty sure these things come across your line more than mine, because I'm way more fucking rambunctious. So people are kind of like, I don't know, I want to say shit to that dude. But, you know, they tend to try to come across your line, because you definitely put information out in a very professional way and with your own tweak to it. So they often feel like, oh, I can, you know, maybe I can get by with this shit here. So how do you approach that?
I try not to get involved a lot of the times. I think I've learned that with having a big account, the repercussions are much bigger. The spotlight on you, the spotlight on you is insane. You can tweet something that is your mere opinion sometimes. Or sometimes you can even tweet something that's factual. But because you're you have that big spotlight on you, people will say something really crazy. So I try not to get involved. But one thing that I do know and I do agree is that people are always looking for you to have the hiccup. People are always waiting for the day they can say, oh, look, you're not able to, you know. And so the thing with Lewis is because he's, for so long, we have waited to call him the greatest of all time. He got 1, 2, 3 titles. People like, he's great. He's now he's at Senna's level. No, he's not, because Michael Schumacher still has 5, 6, 7. And then once you start reaching those numbers, these people's power to say something about him starts, you know, lowering, diminishing, exactly. And so you don't have anything of substance to say, because now he has his 5th and his 6th and his 7th, and now he has wins. So now you start talking about, oh, no, but you can't compare errors. Oh, no, but... Right? Exactly. So it's just people are always waiting. People were waiting for something to move the goalposts.
Yeah. There
and
you go.
Now that they've actually have... I don't want to say they have grounds to say this, but now that they have something palpable to say, look, he can't even make Q2, they're going to grab onto it. They're going to grab onto it. They're going to talk about it. And I see it a lot. Oh, he's washed. Oh, it's the car. Obviously. So see, for example, if Lewis says, oh, my bad, the setup, they're going to say, oh, he always blames it on setup. Or if he goes and he says, oh, this team did something, I'm not happy about this. Oh, he's blaming it on his team because he can't take it on his chin, right? So there's always something for them that is a problem. There's never a... Formula One for me is a man and machine sport. And I think this is something really that I was even recording a video about. And it's the fact that if you can be the greatest driver in the world, and if you don't have a good car, you're not going to be able to perform, because your abilities are not lap time. Your abilities are not the fastest car in the world, right? Because you're not using your own legs or your own six packs or your fitness to get the car across, right? Across the checkered flag. And you can be, you can have the fastest car in the world or in the grid, and you won't be able to extract anything out of it if you're not a good driver. And so you need that balance of, I'm a good driver, I can set this up in a way that fits my driving abilities, and I'm able to go put myself in a good position, but the car needs to be there.
Correct.
And I think this is a general consensus for everyone in the sport, bar Lewis Hamilton.
Boom.
Right. So everyone is granted the car is bad, he's a good driver, but car... Charles Leclerc, for example, and I understand that these people do have their fair share of criticism. Charles Leclerc is one of the people that gets the most criticized, but I'm going to give an example of Charles, for instance. People know he's a great qualifier. People know he's generational talent. And every single time, or at least in previous years where the car wasn't in a good shape, everyone was able to say, well, the car isn't there. Charles does not have the car to be able to compete, because if he does have the car, he's able to compete with Max. People are able to say that, right? Yeah. Never mind the critics of Charles Leclerc. People are able to say, with the right car, Charles Leclerc is a very good driver.
Right.
With the right car, in 2016, when Max Verstappen started doing all of those great races, with the right car, this man is a world champion. So every single time there is a, with the right car, these people are going to be able to bring out their full potential. Where is that conversation for Lewis Hamilton?
Oof, bang.
Right? And so that's what I see. And it's a lot of, oh, he's washed, he's this, da, 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 because people don't give him the benefit of he doesn't have a good car. Or when he does have a good car, he's able to produce all of those results. But when he does have a good car, or it's because someone else doesn't have a good car, or it's because he doesn't have competition. You know, and that's what I come across every single time, is you don't give Lewis Hamilton the same benefit that you give everyone else. And I would love to go and rant every single time about this every day. And I would do it if I had the time to do it. But I've understood that people on the internet do not want their minds changed.
No.
They don't. Once something is stuck in their head, that is what they will run with, you know?
They'll die on that sword.
So what do you want me to tell you at this point? It's like, he's washed? Okay, cool. There's nothing I can say that will change your mind, because these people actually just want to spread that agenda.
There you go.
Oh, he's washed. Oh, he's da 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 da. Fernando Alonso. When was his last win?
Talk about it. Talk about that shit.
When was his last win?
Like 2 decades, ain't he?
Exactly. And no one talks about it. No one bats an eyelid as to the fact that it's been 4,000 days then since he...
I keep saying that shit. Like, y'all talk about Lewis. What about Lonzo? Y'all do know exactly. that he's trying to just have the longest career accolade. That's what he's just trying to do. Like, y'all are killing me right now.
And it's not to say that he's not a great driver. He's a world champion. He's amazing. We've seen now with the Aston Martin being in a good position that he's able to do what he's able to do. Mm. But even with that Aston Martin, why is he not winning races? If he's that great. If he's a world champion, right? Why is he not winning races? If the Aston Martin can do a P3 and Fernando Alonso is as great as everyone makes him out to be, which he is, I'm not saying he's not, but if he's as great as everyone is making him out to be, why isn't he making that P3 a P1? Mm. Why isn't he fighting that Red Bull? And why isn't this discourse had?
Facts.
Because they grant him the benefit of the car is not there yet. Even though he's great, the car is not there yet. And that's not what they give Lewis. And damn. I'm tired. I'm over it.
Then he's spinning bars.
You see, if you spend as much time on Twitter, X, whatever, as I spend, you lose it at some point. And I've heard everything, every argument on the face of the earth. And it's just... You just have to take it. You just have to take it.
It's bullshit. I can say it. Damn, Wolfpack said it. It's bullshit. Right.
It is actually. Facts. Yeah.
It's not even grace. It's just that equal consideration. Yeah. Just equal consideration. If you're gonna say this about this driver who has yet to achieve anywhere near as much as this driver has, how is it that he can do all of that? And this person has done none of this. And you can say, oh, well, it's okay. It's just a double standard that exists in so many other areas of life. It's not even funny. And I would even go as far as say it's not even coincidental that it exists here with Lewis Hamilton. I'm just going to leave it at that. Other people can understand where I'm going with that shit. So let's talk about this because you mentioned it earlier. Mm. Now, we already have seen what has happened to Mercedes in a new era of regulations with ground effects.
Yeah.
Soon we have a PU regulation coming where the MGUH is going to be no more. Mm-hmm. Are you confident? Because you said you got the hope, and I ain't going to blame you if you got the hope. But are you confident to say that this is going to be a corridor that will level the field and allow Mercedes to have a good chance at being competitive? Or is this going to be another hurdle that they don't clear, they clip with the cleat, and they just fall rolling and everybody's making YouTube videos about it? Because they already down. You know, they ain't quitting, but you hit another hurdle, you just tumbling. So it's a million views or you just falling on your face. What is more likely in your opinion, not more so your hope?
My opinion, I think there is a good chance that we will see the field kind of leveling up. I think the field is leveled now. I'll be very honest.
I agree.
But also the fact that new people are coming in. So, Red Bull's going to be doing their own thing. Honda's going to be with Aston Martin. Exactly. And so those small bits will be what change the order of the field a bit. And obviously with the MGUH being gone, teams will have to find a new way to build their engines. Obviously they're all for it, so I guess they know it's a good way of Red Bull?
Yeah, they're contesting it. They're trying to contest the change.
I mean, they probably would just because they are going to be by themselves and they don't know how to build engines, right? Because they did end up pushing their Honda deal at some point because they were supposed to start their own things. They were trying to start the Red Bull powertrain shit a while back. Exactly, yeah.
Right.
So, obviously, someone will contest it. But if a lot of teams... they've accepted it. So the regulations have said MGUH is gone. So which means teams have seen progress in the way they are manufacturing these engines. Sure. I think it's a good thing that we're going to have new regulations in 2026. But power... Engines, at the end of the day, is power, right? They're power and it's what they give you, like down the straight, for example, and when you're braking and the reliability and the way your car performs. But we're still under an era where downforce is very key.
and downforce is coming from the ground. The ground effect era, as they call it, right? We're getting downforce from the floor. And for as much as you have a powerful engine, you still need to find a way to make that floor produce downforce in a way that you're not missing, right? Because the good thing about Red Bull is that they have Adrian Newey, who's someone that lived in a ground effect era back in the 70s. Right. His thesis was on ground effect. Right. Exactly. So I believe that the engines will change. Maybe the way power is harvested. There's a new thing that's going to be coming in, which is the push to pass system. I don't know if you've heard about it, right? So these small things will come in to aid in terms of power, which is amazing. And I do think it will level fields out in terms of which teams have down the straight. For example, we know like Williams and McLaren, they're very powerful down straights and high speed corners. The engines will aid on that, but you will still need downforce. You will still need downforce. And in if in 2 years, you still don't know what to do with your actual aero regulations, the engines can't help you. Engines can't help you, right? And this is a conversation that I think people should have in Formula One is for Williams is powered by Mercedes. They have a powerful engine. Cool. Down the straight, they're powerful. But then why isn't Williams fighting at the front? Because they lack that aero part, the aero bits, the mechanical bits, right? So they don't have, I want to say they don't have enough infrastructure to actually develop a proper car. They don't have enough capital. They don't have enough money and investment. Maybe they don't even have enough like actual updated systems to build these cars, right? And so it's not just about the power unit. The power unit is a big part. Reliability is great because you can finish your races and it's nice to set a fast lap here and there or be in a Q2 when you sit in single laps in qualifying. But over the course of a race, you will rely a lot on your aero balance, a lot on that downforce that comes from your ground and your floor, you know? And so I think it will have to be a balance of power, but also still you need to be understanding these regulations that won't be gone for another few years. So maybe the field will level up, but you still need to understand the regulations that we have right now.
The current ones. Okay, so it could be how do they say it? It could be a passover. Like, although they get a handle on the PU regulations, if they still haven't gotten together or at least caught up to the rest of the field, the top three is still going to be
You're going to be powerful maybe over a single lap, but then once it comes to the race and you actually need to extract that, the chances of you being maybe a P3, 4, 5 and settling for that will be, because then Formula One's also a race of development. Right? Because you need to be, you don't build a car in January or come March for the first race and that's the car that you race over until November, December, right? You need to be developing, updating it. And for you to update a car, you need to understand the car. And this is one thing that I said about Ferrari last year. Ferrari didn't have the capability of updating their car. They started off strong, but then it's, what do you bring to make this strong even better?
There you go.
And they weren't able to do that. And that's one thing that you also need to look out for, because your engine is there. You very rarely get to, you can't actually update your engine. Obviously, teams bring in a few things some here and there. Reliability, exactly.
Right.
Loopholes. But but the engine is what you bring in and what is homologated is exactly. Once it's homologated, it's locked and that's what you have for the rest of the season. Whereas your car, you need to be constantly new floor, new this, new rear wing, da 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 da. And so, the aero regulations are still very important. It could be the case where maybe Red Bull doesn't know how to build an engine. We can hope. And now they're at the back. I'm
going to tell you, Ford ain't going to do so great. Nobody here, I'm telling you right now, if you go to the racetrack, when I'm at the racetrack, especially because I used to drag race, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a fast Mustang in the pits, I've always bet my partners, I bet you it's got a Chevy motor in it. If I see a fast Mustang make consistent passes, it doesn't break down. and it's fast, I always say, I bet you it's got a Chevy motor in it. And every time, 100% of the time when we went over there, there's a Chevy motor in it. It's not a Ford. It's not a Ford
motor.
We will hope. Right. We'll hope. So I'm going to get ready to put you, going to play a little role play. Because you already hinted to the earlier, you was like, I don't know what I would do if they put me in that position. And I got it right here. I'm putting you in that position. All right. You're not even Toto Wolff. You too good for me to call and say you be Toto Wolff. You're not a Toto Wolff. But you in that position. It's Kenneth right now. Seeing everything that you've seen, everything that you've been through since the last three seasons, including this season, of course. What does Denny say may need to happen going into 2025? What do you say? You're in this role. Who are you letting go? Who are you trying to keep? What do you focus on going into 2025 where you feel Denny feels like this is going to give Mercedes a better opportunity? Bang, I was right here. I ain't bullshitting. I wrote that shit down. I said, I'm putting Denny in the position. I'm putting Denny in this shit right now. I'm doing it.
Wait, I'm a Mercedes team principal going into 2025.
You the boss, Denny?
Is Lewis Hamilton still leaving?
Lewis Hamilton is still there right now. I'll even give you a Microsoft rewind. You know how you can fuck up your Microsoft, put rewind it? Lewis hasn't even told you that the contract is going to happen, but you know Lewis is unhappy. So I'll even let you start there just to give you a little grace.
The thing is, there's so much behind building a car. I don't know. And this is why I say being a team principal is not the easiest thing, right? And you put me on the spot. But I think the first thing I think that Mercedes went wrong that I probably wouldn't have done is Brazil 2022 going off the car based on that. Because they went off of George's win and they went, oh, okay, this is the great way, right? For and real. This is something that they've admitted today and saying that, oh, this is where we got wrong. We saw that win and we were hopeful that we could extract performance off of it. And I know that by that time, I'm positive Lewis would have said, I already had said, oh, this is not right.
Right.
So I think the first instance I'm listening to a seven-time world champion telling me this is not right, I'm switching it up. Let's change it. Let's look at different ways. So that's the first thing that I think I would do. Because at the end of the day, obviously engineers, their egos are up here. They don't want to be told what to do. If they see something on them that they think is right, they will follow that. And like driver input apparently isn't as extraordinary. I'm hearing it now from Mercedes. Right. It seems like driver input isn't all that. They don't design the cars. At the end of the day, the engineers still do a lot of work. They know best. But I think it's so important to listen to someone that's actually in the car, someone that's actually, you know, feeling the car, because the bouncing and all when if Lewis Hamilton isn't able to late brake, for example, he's been late braking since he was 8 years old. So if he's not able to do that, you know there's something wrong, right? And so when I'm not able to extract maximum potential of the car, then I know if I know my driver isn't able to extract maximum performance of the car, then I know there's something wrong. Especially if my driver is a good one. So I think my first decision, I would go back to 2022 and go, George Russell's win is great, but it doesn't mean we've now unlocked performance of this car. Fair. George Russell is coming from a Williams, and anything that we put on this plate is going to taste like caviar. It's going to taste expensive. Yeah, exactly.
Beef Wellington.
Anything,
shit.
Exactly. He was eating McDonald's, and anything that's gourmet is going to be top notch, right? So I think my first decision would be, okay, cool. We won. Great. But is this feeling like a championship worthy car? No. Okay. Let's switch that. That's what I would do. I think trying to listen to a driver that's more experienced is where Mercedes went wrong. They didn't do that. And I think that's the one thing that I would do. Maybe I'm biased because anything Lewis Hamilton says, I'm like, okay, yes.
Sure. That's right.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
I mean, but to be fair, Lewis is pretty even keel, like pretty damn even-minded when it comes to situations. I mean, even when it comes to him taking the shit on the chin, like, hey, I changed the setup. I thought it was going to work. It didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, even when you saw the commentator was the journalist was trying to give him credit saying you're an artist, and Lewis was quick to check him like, no, I'm not an artist. Yeah, I don't design. I'm just letting you know that right now. I don't know if it was a shot to like the motherfucker said, I can't tell you shit. Lewis is sneaky like that too. He has a way of saying things and throwing a shot without it being so deliberate because he knows, but he's very cunning with that. I like it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think for me, that would be the first thing is listening to a driver that has experience, because at the end of the day, as a team principal, one, you're not in the car, two, you didn't study engineering, so you don't even know what these A's and B's are. Obviously, at the end of the day, you do have to go through data, and you do have to have a background in the sense that you need to understand a lot of these things. But we've seen, like, for example, Toto Wolff, he's a businessman. And maybe in terms of finance and in the business aspect of things and bringing in sponsors, he's great. And I'm not saying that he's not great at what he does, but sometimes you kind of need to put your head down and say, well, let's listen to people that actually know what they're talking about. And maybe he does do that in his team because, well, I can't discredit the fact that he did lead the team into 8 world championships.
Right
now he's not doing that. No. And that's what I would do, is let's listen to the voice of experience. And instead of trying to jab this person in the media and talking about blah, 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 all the stuff that Toto has been saying,
I would say
let's actually listen to Lewis. What do you think we're going to change? What do you, because I know he's very vocal about, oh, this wing or this or da 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 da. And then once we have that car that is good enough for a 7-time world champion to drive, I'm pretty sure you can adapt it to whatever the second driver is going to want. Because George Russell can pretty much drive anything. Right. You're coming from a Williams. You don't have.
Road this whole fucking time.
Exactly. Exactly, right? So when you're coming, it's different of having like a Max Verstappen where he's used to a car. Now you bring into Mercedes, you have to give him a car. But then if someone is coming from a Williams, someone is coming from a car that, you know, anything, whatever, you're trying to extract a little P20, a P17 for you is a great result. I give you anything you need to adapt to that. And that's that's how I would do, is I'm going to listen to this person who has experience, put him in a car, whatever he says goes, and then you adapt. The second driver is going to adapt. I think I would be a great team principal.
I think, honestly, you surprised me pinpointing that, because that is one of my quirks where I'm like, yo, they went off of fool's gold. Like, they thought they struck it rich, and then they based everything off that, and it was a false reality, and it just fell. It was a false bottom, and it fell out. Dina, you did. That was fucking good. This is she is who she is, y'all. I know y'all attack her because you're going to have haters because you're great. But this is why you are who you are. Like, that is very, very good. And I hate that people, I'm going to say it, I hate that people discredit you and other women in the space just blade off. Like me, I get into arguments all the time. Like, why is it that a woman can give her a perspective on a sporting event that she literally just fucking watched, just like you watched? I'm trying to figure out, why is her opinion any less valuable than yours when they literally watch the same fucking sporting event?
Right.
It's crazy, but you do a phenomenal job.
Thank you. And that's funny that you say that, because over the Chinese Grand Prix, I tweeted something and I said, well, Lewis Hamilton needs to learn how to stop messing with the setup, and, you know, just
boom.
When you find a good setup, just go with it, because you don't have to struggle every race. You don't have to be trying to find a silver bullet every race. And I got a few mean comments, as always. At some people got really rude. Someone was like, oh, and less opinions, more radio messages. And I was like, I don't work for you.
Shut up and carpy.
Right. But then if you, like, I'm someone that I study the sport, right? After every session, every race, I'm loading data, I'm looking, I'm watching on board. So I understand there's people that probably just watch main feed, so you don't see Lewis as much, you don't listen to Lewis, you're only looking at updates that some people tweet, or maybe when he says something in the media, or the little time that the TV director decides to show him. And so I very rarely say things without substance. And so when I tweeted that, I was aware of the sprint race, sprint qualifying. I was aware of previous races. I was aware of things from last year. I have my little notebook where I'm taking notes. And I'm like, oh, this race is different. This race, da da da. So when I tweet that, it's because I could see that setup was one of the most drastic setups Lewis Hamilton has ever had. long way away from anything. He had a brake split at some point, right? So his brakes weren't even functioning at an optimal level. He couldn't even brake late. Lewis Hamilton brakes late by nature. Right.
That's his thing.
So when you you see this man can't brake late, you know something's wrong. Right. So I know what I'm saying when I'm saying, well, this time around, this man really messed up and he needs to let it go sometimes, just breathe. And people are like, oh, you, okay, cool, Denny, let it go. I tried to explain my point with a few people. And then after that, I just enjoyed the race, watched it.
There you go.
Soon after the race was done, Lewis Hamilton came on the radio and he said, sorry, Bono, I'm never going to do that again.
There you go, right? Bang. No said. Then he just dropped the mic. Just leave it there.
Exactly. Right. And then he went on to the media and he said, yeah, I made my life difficult. Sure da, 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 da. This was the worst setup I've had in my life. The understeer, this and that. Da, 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 da. I'm never going to do that again. I changed the setup. And I said, there you have it.
I guess too much like right is not what they want to hear. Yes, right. Exactly. And that's what I heard. And I was like, that was on Lewis. You know, Lewis chose to do that drastic. I'm not saying that it's giving the car an excuse for it. It's not bad. But Lewis made a decision and he tried something in probably desperation just to try to get something better. And it didn't work. I mean, but at the same flip coin is why wouldn't he? And sometimes, like you said, you got to just kind of. Just let the shit breathe. Just let it breathe. Like, don't be so quick to hop back on the track. Just let that shit breathe a little bit.
Exactly. And it's like you said, it's not to say that he should be sitting back and relaxing all of that. Of course, it's in his nature to look for that performance, extract a little bit. But then you're working with this narrow set of window. The chances of you falling out of that are very high. Eight out of ten times you're gonna get it wrong. Sometimes if you get something right, and like the comparison that I did with someone that was like, oh, you don't know what you're saying, I was like, okay, in a sprint race he was able to do 19 laps on a medium tire perfectly fine. It's not to say that the balancer was great, but he was able to keep a P2 on that same medium tire. During the race, he only did 12 laps. He couldn't do it. He was locking up. He couldn't brake. He couldn't turn. What do you say about that? Of course, it's the setup. But of course, Denny, you don't know what you're saying. And I was like,
the track changed overnight.
Okay. Sorry.
You got it.
Yeah, people are so quick to discredit someone, and then you just don't know the amount of work that actually goes behind. Even tweet and something like that, for me, that was me just out of my comfort zone saying, I know what I'm saying. You will see. And I just kept quiet. And I was like, okay, cool. It is what it is. If you guys think that, I'll just leave it. And then Lewis went ahead and was like, she's right.
and that, I think to say that, because you got me beat. Like, Danny, you got me beat. Like, your acumen for the sport is far beyond what I do. You know, what I do is I'm just a realist type motherfucker. I'm going to say something real. Like, hey, listen, I don't give a shit how y'all feel. This is what the hell I know. I know people. I know people's actions. And this shit don't look crazy. This shit look crazy. But you, like you said, you keep the data. You're paying attention. You're watching several different angles of the sport. And that's why I got no problem saying, like, yo, a queen got me beat. This is what she do. This is her wheelhouse. Like, she real about everything she's putting out there. And I think it also goes to when you said, you can't jump out the window for everybody and everything, because you could have spent all your time jumping out that window, right? And this was going to happen anyway. And at the end of the day, your platform's so big, people see it and this is not what I came here for. So like you said, it's so much of a bigger risk for you. So that's another reason why I say you just phenomenal at what you do, because you can say that and then take the action not to do it. Sometimes I'm going to see shit and I'm going to be like, yo, you better get your ass up out of here. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference between, you know, people on your level, people on my level. Everybody's got different levels. And I think it's just cool for us to recognize that. And I just give you all the flowers that you deserve. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, you know, that's, I put really you in a hot nice spot and you did pretty good with it. I was like, I'm going to see what the hell she's going to do. And you hinted to her early. I was like, oh, shit. Damn, I might jam her up with this one. But, Danny, you did an awesome job. Let these people know where they can come check you out, get some real good information from real quick.
Thank you. You can check me out on X or Twitter, whatever you call it, FIGarly. I'm also trying to do some video content creation. So Instagram and TikTok, FIGarly. If you like some explanation videos, some prep facts before race weekends, I also drop some there. But that's me, FIA Girly.
What the hell? When'd you start this shit? She didn't say a goddamn thing. Let me see this shit. What's that Instagram? Because you didn't say shit. I'm looking at shit. It's, I got it right now.
I think the TikTok's better than Instagram, but the Instagram is.
I'm gonna follow both.
Okay, thank you.
I just followed it right now. I just followed it. And I'm gonna tell y'all right now. I'm gonna tell y'all like this right now. If Denny by the end of the season don't have over 10,000 followers on IG, something wrong with y'all. Not her. Something wrong with y'all. I'm just saying, I'm going to check that shit too, y'all. I'm going to check it. All right. Denny deserves way more than that. She balling out here in this world. And I'm going to follow it on Twitter or whatever the hell they call that. TikTok. I got you on TikTok too. All right.
Thank you.
So, hey, this is another performance talk with Denny FIA Girlie. Sound and real one in the space of Formula One, just not Mercedes. Don't lock her down to one knee. She is in Formula One, period. We will see y'all again soon. Denny is busy. I don't know when she'll come back, but whenever she's here, I just thoroughly enjoy her acumen, her knowledge, and her character. So with that being said, you know what I say? Peace.
Thanks for watching another episode of Wolfpack Performance. Don't forget to check out some of my other content on Formula One and motorsports topics. Like, share, subscribe, and we go live on the weekends. See you soon.